Well, good morning. It's good to see you all. Good for those online who are there. Can't see you. You can see me. I'm about this big. But I'm not the main focus, so we will deal with my size appropriately. Okay. Long-suffering. Long-suffering. Patient endurance of offense or hardship. One definition. You may have others. That's the one I'm going to use primarily this morning. How many like to be given a second chance? Oh, yeah. About a third or a fourth or more. We like second chances on things that we don't quite measure up, or when something goes wrong, or we just fail in some way. We always like a second or third or fourth chance, whatever is appropriate or offered to us. So, that being said, I want you to be patient with me, and you want me to be patient with you. Even in the courts, people like that second chance, don't they? Get in trouble, they go to court, they want a second chance. They don't want to be locked up immediately. Just, you know, throw themselves on the mercy of the court, as the saying goes, and hopefully be given a second chance. And some people use that second chance to turn their life around, to make things better. Some not so much. For many, it's just an opportunity to avoid the consequences of whatever their bad action was. Long-suffering, second chances, patience. Hopefully an opportunity for some self-improvement. You ever gone into, I don't know, they still have bookstores? Hadn't been in one in a long time. You can get books online, you can get books, you know, on computers and tablets and iPhones, and you can get books everywhere. You can get books on, you know, that you listen to going down the road. But used to go into bookstores. Didn't have all that, so you went to the place where they had paper books. Yes, they used to have those. And you go through there and you would see aisles labeled for what was on that aisle. And one of them was self-improvement. And if you went down that aisle, most people would sort of sneak down that aisle when nobody was looking. But when you went down that aisle, you may see 100 books or more. Some of them had big sections on self-improvement. And I guess that sold, because if it didn't sell, people quit writing the books, right? We assume, I guess, and we hope that people want to improve themselves. And that is evidenced by all those books that are on the shelf, or all the books on your that you can access on your tablet. But you know, one book that you want to not see on that self-improvement shelf that's got hundreds of books is the Bible. You don't see it there. You see it in the religion section, maybe. But other books far outnumber it, even on those shelves. But the best self-improvement book we have, we've all got one. You've probably got one this morning, whether it's paper or scrolling through on your tablet or your iPhone or whatever. You've got access to the greatest self-improvement book ever written. In fact, I might go so far as to say that it could just take the place of all those self-improvement books. And in that self-improvement book, in the Bible, we have many examples of the idea of long-suffering. Aren't we supposed to be long-suffering? Aren't we supposed to be patient? Hurry up, answer. Some of you got that. But the scriptures bear that out, don't they? We're to be long-suffering. We're to be patient, if you want to use that term. Long-suffering seems to be a little more powerful than just to say be patient. When we look, and we have studied the Peter's both letters that Peter wrote recently. And in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God is the prime example of long-suffering, of patience. He doesn't want people to perish. So what does He do? He gives time. He gives us another day and another day, a second chance, a third chance, a fourth chance, a chance every day to turn around our lives and do what is right. And everybody has that same amount of time. Everybody's got 24 hours in every day. 168 in a week, is that right? So everybody's got the same amount of time to use as we see fit. The Lord's not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness. Now, I would say, you know, God, why don't you just come on back down? And I think, you know, you're kind of slack in this. Not punishing the people that I think needs punishing. But He don't count slackness. He's not slack like some count slackness, like I might count slackness. He's long-suffering. And when we use that long-suffering term, when we hear that, it kind of has the idea that I don't like to suffer. Who likes to suffer? We don't like to suffer anything. But it's not that type of suffering. It's the patience, and it is suffering long with me. It's putting up long with me because He doesn't want me to perish. He doesn't want you to perish. A people that is created by Him, are the people that are created in His image. So logically, why would He create mankind with the intent of destroying it? It just doesn't make sense, does it? Notice what that verse does not say. It doesn't say that this long suffering is permanent, is forever. He's not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but it's but is long suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Again, logically, if the long-suffering never ends, if He just keeps putting up and putting up and putting up and putting up for eternity, it wouldn't make any sense for Him to say He wants everybody to repent. What would be the point? You just keep giving those chances over and over and over from now on. And it wouldn't make any sense. But that was some of the thinking in Peter's day. If you go to Peter, I don't have it on the screen, but if you go there to 2 Peter chapter 3, and if you look back a few verses to chapter 4, I mean to verse 4 in chapter 3 of 2 Peter, if you find chapter 4 in 2 Peter, you'll let me know. I don't think it's there. Not in mine anyway. But they said here, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 4, where's the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, since they died, all things continue as it were from the beginning of creation. And we talked about this in class. That in their estimation, things just keep going on just the same every day, every year, every decade, whatever. But we noted that that was not the case. And He even says that that's not the case. For they willfully forget that by the word of God, The heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. Did things go on just like they were up until Noah's time and through Noah's time and after Noah's time? No, things don't always continue the way they were. Things didn't continue the way they had gone on up till Noah's day because of evil in the world. But it wasn't just the sin that caused the flood. It was that people were unresponsive to God. They were unresponsive to the preaching of Noah. They were unrepentant. And that was really the reason for the flood. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, continuing. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are now reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Preserved by the same word, but now reserved. They are held to a certain day, and that day is the day of judgment, reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Things are not going to always continue. God preserves, but He also has His creation reserved for punishment and destruction for those who will not obey. But God's long suffering allows for time for repentance. That's why just a few verses forward, Peter says, the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. His expectation is that we use the time that we're given for self-improvement. But self-improvement God's way, by His word. And we have that guide, don't we? Don't have the passage up, but 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 through 20, it talks about Noah there again. And this passage shows us that in Noah's day, God showed long suffering to who? To Noah? No, to the disobedient. In effect, Noah didn't really need the long suffering. If you look at how he is described, I believe it's Genesis 6, says in Genesis 6 and verse 9, this is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. The disobedient needed the long suffering of God, and God gave it to them. Noah preached while the ark was being prepared, and there's all kind of speculation as to how long that was. But he didn't just, I don't think he just preached from the day he started putting the boards together to the day that it was finished. He was preaching before that. He was a good man. That's why he was in the position that he was with God when God told him to build the ark. But he preached while the ark was being prepared. God was giving them time. God was patiently waiting for them to return to Him, or to turn to Him in the first place. All that time. And in the end, only 8 people were saved. It took many decades to build the ark. In the quickest version that I have looked at, could God have accomplished it quicker? More efficiently, maybe, in our view? Sure He could. But He was long-suffering while the ark was being prepared. He gave time. Sometimes this long-suffering is misapplied. In Romans chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, Well, first of all, people actually mock God when they condemn others for things that they themselves are doing. And that's what this says. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things? What such things? We need to look at that. Romans chapter 2, well, it's the end of Romans chapter 1, he tells us what such things are. He's just listed them. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, their whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, and take a breath, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Wow! And I have to ask myself, do I fit in there somewhere? And he says, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, do you think that you will escape the judgment of God? It's one of those questions that just is like a statement in a question form. You will not escape the judgment of God. And then he says, or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long suffering? Are you taking advantage of that? Are you taking advantage of him giving you time and you're not using it to your benefit? Not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. That's what that time is for. It's for repentance. It's for our salvation. The long-suffering of God is our salvation. But some don't change. Their actions say that God's delay is simply approval for their sinful lives. So what is long-suffering? Long-suffering is patiently continuing to seek God. 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 4, that Ed just read a few minutes ago. I charge you before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. He's giving Timothy instruction. He needs to be putting the word out there. Preach the word and be ready. Be ready in season and out of season. Be ready all the time. And then he gives us some specific things here. Convince, rebuke, exhort. Convince. Convinced by the scriptures, by the teaching of Jesus and the apostles. The things that was delivered to them. Rebuke. Call sin out and call out those who are in sin willfully. And exhort, encourage them, build them up. See how his message, his instruction to Timothy is a complete sermon, if you would. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. And how is that to be done? Long suffering. With all long-suffering and teaching. Just keep teaching it. Keep teaching it. And he needed long-suffering because when he's preaching the word, do you think everybody listens? People don't always listen to the preacher. But if the preacher is preaching the word of God, they need to listen to the preacher because, in effect, God's the one that's teaching. With all long-suffering. The long-suffering that God shows and continues to show to us. That's the way we need to teach. That's the way we need to preach. That's the way we need to convince, rebuke, and exhort. The rest of that passage, for time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Keep preaching. But will according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. Just telling them what they want to hear. That's what the itching ears mean. Man, I really want to hear this message as long as it's what I want to hear. And they will turn their ears away from the truth. When you turn away from the truth, you're turning to something else. If you turn from the truth, you're turning to something false. There's only truth and false, right? They will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned to fables. We talked about fables a little bit this morning in Bible class. It's just a story. It's just something made up. And Vance mentioned that fables sometimes have their place in teaching a truth. But this is not what that's talking about. These fables aren't teaching truth. This is just crazy stuff. And you don't have to look far to see crazy stuff and hear crazy stuff out there. And I'm talking about in churches. And it's unfortunate, isn't it? Because they're doing it in the name of God, in the name of Christ. But many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And on, and he said, you know, I never knew you. Patiently continuing to seek God. These need to be rebuked, but they also need proper teaching and encouragement. And it has to be done with patience. Because people are not always ready to listen and ready to receive the truth. You tell them, I talked to him one time. He wouldn't listen. I'm through. Preach the word. Be instant. Continue. Don't give up. Keep preaching. Keep teaching. Paul is a good example of this patiently continuing to teach God. Paul had experienced the long suffering of God when he was persecuting the church. And Paul became an example of long suffering for others as he suffered much for his faith. 2 Timothy 3, 10 and 11. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, which what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Why? Because he was long-suffering. He was patient with the Lord. Bad things came upon Paul. He suffered a lot because he taught what he knew was right. So he suffered a lot for his faith, but he didn't give up. Paul continued to seek God through all his afflictions. And whatever our afflictions are, so must we. Long-suffering is also dealing patiently with fellow Christians. Oh, it's hard to be patient with y'all folks. And you're saying it's harder to be patient with you to 11:45 or 11:55 or whatever. But and we see the writing here in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. Who's he writing to? He's writing to fellow Christians. And he says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on these things. Christian to Christian, tender mercies, just like God's merciful to you. You need to be merciful to your fellow Christians. Kindness, You know, meanness and animosity just doesn't have a place, does it, among Christians? Humility. Respect doesn't sit on a pedestal somewhere. We're all in the same boat. We're all got the same goal. All working for the same thing. Don't think too highly of self. Meekness, not overbearing to people, to one another, to fellow Christians. And long-suffering. Patience among Christians. It doesn't seem like that would need to be said, would it? But Christians are people. And every people is different. Everyone is different. And our peculiarities don't always mesh real good with each other. So there's differences in us, even though we have that same goal, even though we have that same aim, even though we're serving the same God and Savior, we still have differences. And sometimes those differences may clash. But he says we need to be long-suffering to one another. Patient. Then he says, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. We might be offended by one another. Forgive. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must do. We don't have an option if we're to be the Christian that we are charged to be. What this does not mean is that we let sin and error slide. Sin cannot be ignored, but must be exposed. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11. Have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them with patience, with long suffering. And I've already mentioned long suffering is our salvation. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, and he's just talked about the events of the coming of the Lord. Looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found in him, by him, in peace, without spot, and blameless. And consider that the long suffering of the Lord is salvation. Without God's long-suffering toward us, we would already be eternally lost. But he waits for you. He waits for me. Use this time to work out your own salvation, as he says, with fear and trembling. Long-suffering is our salvation. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 16. Paul speaks of his former life that was against Christ and against his church, and how Christ used him in the ministry. How he was turned around. And then he says this. For this reason I obtained mercy. It's one of the things we're supposed to be with each other is merciful. Paul says, I got it from God. For this reason, I obtained mercy, that in me first Christ Jesus might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for eternal life. As a pattern, long-suffering. I would encourage you today to use God's time wisely. Paul encourages us in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. redeeming the time. We swap our time for something worthwhile, something valuable. And what's more valuable than God? What's more valuable than the things that He has provided for us for our salvation? One of those valuable things is long-suffering. This morning, if we can assist you further in any way, in your walk, or in with baptism into Christ for the remission of sins, let us know at the conclusion of the service. We're here for you. May we pray.